Save big on everything for your next staining project when you shop at Menards. Transform your home in one weekend with exterior stain and sealer from Dutch Boy. It provides one coat protection on decks, fences, siding, and outdoor furniture, and repels rain after just 4 hours of application. That means quicker results, saving you both time and money. Check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Let's go straight out to the HRMP guest line, being joined by Will Doctor, best golf handicapper on planet Earth. You can see him, too. He's joining us on camera on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, Twitter at ESPN975, TikTok at ESPN975, Dr. Media59 on Twitter. You can listen to him each and every week. Charlie Epps here with us as well. And his U.S. Open preview podcast is out at pregame.com. Listen to it on the drive in, Will. And I didn't realize it was Oakmont's 10th U.S. Open. That's a big number. What does the golf course look like this week? What type of golfer has a good chance to win the U.S. Open this week with the challenge that it's going to present?
Yeah, they've hosted 10 U.S. Opens and 3 PGA championships, as well as 2 U.S. Women's Opens and 6 U.S. Amateurs. And the reason why, it's a Mount Rushmore golf course as far as major championship venues. Bryson DeChambeau said yesterday that this is the toughest test of golf in the world at the moment. You know, the history, the demanding layout, the rough, is treacherous. You know, if you hit the ball in the rough, if you miss the fairway this week, it's tough to even get the ball out and advance it back in the fairway. You have a bunch of bunkers, throughout Oakmont as well. Of course, the famous church pews. You know, it's overall just a really tough test. A lot of blind tee shots. This is not an easy golf course off the tee. You cannot pick a wild driver of the golf ball. You need someone who's hitting a lot of fairways. It's a long golf course. There's a 289-yard par 3 out there, the 8th hole. Colin Morikawa stepped up to that hole yesterday and looked at his caddy and said, do I go for the green here or lay up? And because he thought it was a par 4, and the caddy said, no, Colin, this is a par 3. It's, you're going to have to step up here and hit a driver or 3-wood. So, you need someone who can hit the ball a long way, but really, you need an accurate driver of the golf ball. You cannot, you cannot have someone that is missing fairways. You need a sharp, approach player, a good iron player. The other really tough part about Oakmont is that the green slope from front to back, typically, golf courses around the world, the green slope from back to front, you've got a little bit of a backboard to work with. You've got to put a ton of trajectory and a ton of spin on your approach shots, because there's so many approach shots where the ball can just roll back over the green. And just like any U.S. Open test, you have to have a sharp short game if you're going to win this championship.
Well, I've seen the rough is obviously treacherous and balls disappear, but the bigger thing, too, to your point is I saw guys in the practice round hitting putter from about 90 to 100 yards out and watching the ball just take off and roll all the way to the cup. So these are the toughest conditions these guys are going to see, and it's going to be fun to watch. But most people, with everything you said, with the way Scotty's been playing, is going to say Scheffler's the overwhelming favorite. If it's not Scotty, who? I've seen John Rahm's name floating around.
Yeah, John Rahm's another good favorite. He's playing very well at the moment. As far as a specific pick, I like John Rahm over Rory McIlroy this week. That's on most sports books as far as matchups is concerned. Rory's coming off a pretty tough miscut at the RBC Canadian Open. I mean, he took another step back as far as his driving accuracy is concerned. He was erratic. He was all over the place. And he talked to the press earlier this week, and Rory said that he's having a very tough time working as hard as he was, you know, prior to the Masters when he was trying to complete the Grand Slam. You know, he said that he's trying to find some time to enjoy himself, and he's trying to pick up some new hobbies and travel the world and play tennis. I just don't feel like his mind is really on the golf at the moment. Rahm, on the other hand, you know, we can say what we want about Liv. I'm not a Liv golf fan, but he has recorded 21 straight top tens on the Liv Golf Tour. And he did say this week that, you know, in some of those events, they wouldn't have been top tens in full field PGA Tour events. He is still playing incredibly well at the moment. You know, he had a chance to win the PGA Championship, you know, fell back, you know, pretty far behind Scheffler there on Sunday. You know, Rahm is playing very well at the moment. I'll target him over McIlroy in the matchups. You know, Bryson DeChambeau, you know, I really do like, but I think plus 750 is a little expensive for him this week. I would have liked to seen him at more around 14-1. You know, obviously his length off the tee is a major, you know, weapon. We saw that in 2020 around Wingfoot, and last year he's the defending champion, you know, won his second U.S. Open at Pinehurst, playing equally as well this year. You know, second at the PGA and fourth in Virginia are his last two starts. He's got a new set of irons in the bag. You know, what cost him the Masters and the PGA was the iron play in the big moment. The irons were too spinny. He couldn't control his trajectory. Bryson's got a lot of speed. It takes some special technology to dial in his shots. You know, LA Golf, this company, supposedly made him a very good set that he's comfortable with. Bryson will absolutely be there on Sunday. So, yeah, if you had to pick, you know, three of those, you know, top favorites, you know, I would say it's Scottie Scheffler, Bryson DeChambeau, and John Rahm.
Has Scheffler crossed over to the point where it's more of a surprise if he loses a major than wins a major?
Yeah, absolutely, especially when you look at his last four golf events. I mean, he won the Nelson by 8. He won the PGA Championship by 5. He had a chance to win at Colonial the week after the PGA. I mean, Quail Hollow to Colonial is a pretty big-time stretch. You know, he was right there chasing down Ben Griffin on Sunday at Colonial. And then, you know, he won by 4 at Jack's Place 2 weeks ago in his last start. So it's not like he's just winning these tournaments by one or two shots. He is blowing out the field, which is why, you know, I think he has a very good chance of becoming the sixth player in history to win the PGA Championship and the U.S. Open in the same year. You know, the latest being Brooks Koepka in 2018. And I think, you know, by the time Sunday evening rolls around, you know, Scottie Scheffler is going to have a chance to complete the career Grand Slam at the British Open.
I'm curious your thoughts on the whole Rory situation, because as much as I was looking at him, what you just told me sounds like a whole lot of BS that is basically because he can't find his game since they drilled that driver. And why is that driver so important, and why has it affected him and not a guy like Scottie, who also got dinged for the driver?
Well, the driving accuracy has been an issue for Rory all season. It's just that he got away with it, and he said this in his press conference yesterday. He was able to get away with it at Augusta because, you know, you can drive it, you know, you can be relatively – Augusta is relatively open. You can drive it offline. You can find little gaps in the trees. It's not like Oakmont where, you know, the rough is 5 to 6 inches, and, you know, you can barely find your ball if you miss the fairway. And, you know, when you look at the driving accuracy numbers, Rory has been very shaky with the driver as far as accuracy all season long. You know, he has still managed to win golf tournaments at courses where it's not that penal to miss fairways. This is not one of those golf courses. He definitely has the big miss in the bag right now. Yeah, he is switching, you know, driver heads, and, you know, his driver at the PGA along with Scheffler's, you know, barely crossed the line. And, you know, that's a whole nother thing is the USGA and PGA of America, you know, should test the whole field instead of just 30 players. You know, I think they would find that a lot of the drivers barely cross the line as every company is trying to get it on that threshold. But yeah, Rory's in between two TaylorMade drivers at the moment. It's not an equipment thing, you know, as far as I'm concerned. And I just go off the stats. He is negative relative to the field in driving accuracy, tournament in and tournament out. If that continues this week at Oakmont, you know, there's a chance he might not make it to the weekend. He missed the cut here in 2016.
Will Doctor joining us on the HRMP guest line. You can follow him on Twitter, DrMedia59. Listen to him each week right here at ESPN 97.5. His U.S. Open preview up at pregame now. Don't ask him how he feels about the golf tournament up at the Canadian Open. The golf course, he had a nickname for the golf course they play the Canadian Open at this year. And I can't say it on the air. Can't. Will Doctor got a little bit risky on the podcast, which I enjoyed. It was good stuff. But, Will, who are some of your favorite bets, a dark horse or two, with the Open beginning tomorrow?
Yeah, I would say the first one would be, you know, just starting with a pick to place. It's a top nationality ticket. Ludvig Åberg to finish top Nordic at plus 180. You know, you go down the list of Nordics. You know, Victor Hovland, you know, his total driving was very suspect at Jack's Place. You know, I don't really trust his lifetime below average shipping at Oakmont. You know, Thorbjørn Olsen is coming off a negative week with the irons in Canada. You know, Rasmus Højgaard, Rasmus Nygaard Pedersen, and Nicholas Norgaard are all three of them are having a tough time with the driver. There is this little-known Joachim Lagergren, you know, who finished second place at the KLM Open on the DP World Tour last year, who is playing well. But at 33 years old, he's making his first major championship start this week. I don't think the Nordic leaderboard is going to be any issue for Åberg this week. So I like that at plus 180 over on DraftKings. You know, as far as who I think is going to be in the mix, other than Scheffler and is going to have a chance to win on Sunday, I will have Keegan Bradley to win at 100-1. This is an unbelievable number for the way Keegan Bradley is playing. You know, eighth at the PGA, seventh at the Memorial. He is the type of driver of the golf ball you want off the tee at Oakmont, absolute bomber, and does it with incredible precision. You know, at a place like Oakmont where the scores are not going to be super low, I don't worry about Keegan as much with the putter. He has really come around with the putter here over the last couple of years, and he putted well at Jack's Place. So, you know, I think I've said this a couple times this week. I think it's becoming a pretty serious reality that Keegan Bradley will be a playing member of the Ryder Cup team at Bethpage come September. You know, he's going to become the first U.S. playing captain in the Ryder Cup since Arnold Palmer in 1963. He has played well enough to do that. I think he stamps his place on this team, on that team this week, and has a chance to win on Sunday. So I'll have him at 100-1. I also like Cam Young a lot. You know, Cam Young, he opens at 150-1 this week. You know, with someone who drives the ball like Cam Young does, long and straight, good enough iron player, and has been putting great over the last 4 weeks. You look at his last four events, seventh at the Truist, didn't play that well at the PGA, finished 47th there, 25th at the Memorial, and then fourth place last week at the Canadian Open. And he had to go and final qualify for the U.S. Open. He had to go to Columbus, Ohio. He was in a playoff against Max Homa and Ricky Fowler, fired a couple low numbers to get through final qualifying and earn his place in this field. So, my two, you know, the two kind of dark horse outrights that I like is Keegan Bradley at 100-1 and Cam Young at 150-1.
All right, we'll be placing those tickets. Will, thank you very much. Great stuff. Enjoy listening to the podcast each and every week, and we'll catch up with you down the road.
Thank you.
I feel good about the dog market. I feel really good about it. Will Doctor, I think the best handicapper in the business, knows his golf too. He was blasting the golf course that they played at the Canadian Open.
Really?
He called it the TPC hole.
Really?
Cracked me up. I was like laughing in my truck. I was
cackling. Did you see they made it like a hockey theme?
Uh-uh.
Every tee box was surrounded with hockey boards.
That's pretty cool.
And then the goalie helmets were the tee markers.
I like that.
And they were doing the whole course had that kind of flavor to it.
He hated the layout.
Is that right?
He was crushing the layout. It was awesome. Maybe that's why Rory kind of checked out there, you know, maybe. But I don't love the whole Rory, I want to spend more time traveling the world and playing tennis. Like, I don't think you're going to win many golf tournaments with that kind of attitude.
Yeah, and if you're trying to be the great, one of the greatest of all time, then you don't just pull the chute because you won the career Grand Slam.
And if I'm his wife, I don't love that Rory McIlroy's like, I'm going to take up tennis again when his former girlfriend was a tennis player. I don't think Caroline Wozniacki or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't think, although that relationship seems to be a little strained, Rory and his wife.
JJ also was
a little strained.
I think Caroline Wozniacki at one time.
I think that's right.
Mm-hmm.
He had a thing for like the athletic. I mean, he still does, I guess.
The blonde.
Because remember, in the athletes.
Yes.
Because remember, he went on a couple dates with Paige Van Zandt, mixed martial artist.
The MMA fighter.
I didn't know that one.
Yeah, he's in town, by the way. He found a camera and was talking to the media today. All right, 713, which is unfair. I think he was asked. 713-780-ESPN. Coming up next, is C.J. Stroud under more pressure than any quarterback in the NFL this year? It's Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, you need to listen up. Now's the time to do it. What greater time is it than the present? And Monument Chevrolet is the place to buy this vehicle because they're the dealer that you can trust. Why can you trust them? Well, they're transparent. That's always a fear that I have whenever I buy a new vehicle, is that I'm wondering if they're pulling one over on me. Not Monument Chevrolet. They're transparent. They have no hassle pricing. Get your car shopping done fast. Get rid of the stress and anxiety of the entire process. Monument Chevrolet has been serving the Houston area for 5 decades. They've helped generations of families get into new vehicles, and these families keep coming back because they trust the fine people at Monument Chevrolet. It's a family feel. It's friendly. They have great people there. The culture's fantastic. The moment you walk in, they just welcome you. It's a good feeling. And plus, their dealership is massive. It's like a little suburb town out there at Monument Chevrolet, which you can find right at 225 in Bellway 8. You can't miss it. Can't miss it because it's so big. They have street names out there. It's so big. But get a fair deal, a fast deal, an easy deal without wasting your time in these aggravating, stressful negotiations that you're wondering if you're getting taken advantage of. That's not going to happen at Monument Chevrolet. No tricks, no time wasting, no hidden charges. If you've been waiting to upgrade your ride, now is the time to do it. Visit them online, monumentchevrolet.com, monumentchevrolet.com. You can check out their inventory there. Or better yet, just go visit them in person. 225 and Beltway 8 at Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Explore wildlife and nature just 90 minutes from Houston at twocreekscrossingresort.com.
Watch all of the baseball action of your hometown team at JBARM, Edo's world-class barbecue and beer garden spot. JBARM is serving up Texas-style brisket, homemade sausage, and timeless barbecue. On Fridays and Saturdays, refresh yourself with $2 well drinks and buckets of beer for $15. Plus, watch every pitch, catch, and home run on JBARM's massive TV screen. JBARM at 2201 Leland. For more info, visit jbarmbbq.com and follow on socials at jbarmbbq.
Hi, this is Sean with Greenlight Offer, and I buy houses cash. If you own a house and want to sell it fast at a fair price, I'm your guy. Call me at 832-779-4000. I can pay cash and close in as little as 3 days. I buy houses in any condition, any price range, and any location in the Houston area. I'm a local real estate investor who buys several houses a month, and I want to buy more. I buy inherited houses, vacant houses, behind in payment houses. I even buy my tenant won't pay me the rent houses. Do you own a house that is trash and needs thousands of dollars of repairs? That's fantastic, because I love buying junk houses too. Skip all the hassle and headache of listing, dealing with agents, showings, and who knows what else. If you own a house and want to sell it fast, give me a call today. Sean at Green Light Offer Buying Houses. Call me at 832-779-4000. That's 832-779-4000. Call for Sean with Green Light Offer, and I'll get your green light number on your house today.
Hey parents, Jeremy Branham here. Want to transform your driveway into a pro-level court? Pro-Dunk basketball goals are the real deal. Their revolutionary lightning adjust system lets you change heights in seconds, from regulation 10 feet down to 5 feet so the whole family can play. Built with commercial-grade materials that stand up to Houston weather, get your kids off those screens and onto the court. Pro-Dunk, the choice of serious ballers. Visit ProDunk.com today. That's ProDunk.com.
You found the Killer Bees, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, Keith from L.A. didn't like that segment. He didn't He didn't care for the golf. Israel did. Israel gave us his play to win. But Keith from L.A., don't know what's worse, golf or tennis, preppy country club sport. I actually like both golf and tennis. I haven't played tennis in years.
Play with Rory.
We don't really run with the same circle, Rory and I. Jeff Blum saw Rory in an elevator the other day. Did you hear that story?
In Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny. He's like, yeah, I looked down.
Does that make him best friends like you and Burrow?
I don't think he said he looked down. He's like, I looked over and it was Rory. Although I'm sure Blum towers over Rory.
Yeah.
No, Blum's much cooler than me. He probably didn't get starstruck like I did whenever I locked eyes with the greatness that is Joe Burrow. I like golf and tennis. I wish I could find somebody that I could play tennis with, because that's an easy way to get some calorie intake or outtake or whatever.
That's a good cardio workout.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to – I like golf probably more, though. Keith from L.A., the most boring segment of all time. And when was the last time either of you played golf? I'm not talking about Topgolf either. I don't really like Topgolf. When was the last time you golfed?
I think it was with you. No. Okay. I played right after – last year after the Houston Open, I played Memorial.
Key, I golfed about 6 weeks ago. Not only did I golf, but I won a contest. I won a long drive contest whenever I played golf at Wildcat about 6 weeks ago, and I have the range finder to prove it. So that was the last time I golfed, because I was hitting some bombs. Bryson.
Doctor gets dicey on Twitter about tennis, too.
Why are we changing the subject from Branham DeChambeau?
I wasn't trying to Jeremy at all.
I'm kidding. It was a joke. I haven't seen him get dicey about this.
Oh, yeah. Someone said something about Alcaraz or something in that big match, and they criticized her, said it was boring, and he lit that. He just went off on the guy.
They criticized her.
The Alcaraz Sinner match and like, the level of, you know, like.
They're men.
Did I say her?
Yeah.
Oh, well, it was the Alcaraz Sinner match and how great it was, and whoever the Twitter person was saying that it was boring and it was crap match or something like that, and Will just went nuts on him.
It was I watched that match.
It was pretty entertaining.
I woke up because it started. What time did it start? Like six, maybe six or seven. I woke up, had to do the Blake Bortles, what Blake Bortles does whenever he wakes up. I had to do that, and then I went back to bed, was working on some stuff, turned it on, and like 4 hours later, it's still on. It was like a 5 hour, 45 minute match or whatever.
It was a marathon. Some of those rallies and the saves and the dump shots at the net, and then the shot that won it was phenomenal.
Yeah, I didn't think Alcaraz was going to win. Sinner won the first two sets.
Yeah. It was 5.5 hours that match.
Yeah,
man,
about what I said.
Okay.
When are you guys coming back to Beaumont? It's been years.
Maybe during football season. They normally try and sell it for football.
If you're going to buy me some dinner, I'll head up there tonight. What's up? What do you want to do about it? How much you want to see me? Where are we going? I'll head up there right now. 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock whistle. I'll be heading, what is it, I-10? I'll be going right down I-10 to Beaumont. Where do we want to go? What's the nicest steakhouse in Beaumont?
What level of dinner are you willing to drive an hour plus?
Okay. Nicest steakhouse in Beaumont.
It's got to be a steakhouse. All right.
Yeah, give me a nice texter. We can. I have no idea. I don't really hang out in Beaumont.
We would never make it because we wouldn't know that from our appearances there.
I got nothing to do.
No, we got sent to Modelo's, I think is the last place I remember.
It wasn't called Modelo's.
No. What was it called?
Modelo's a beer.
Okay.
We went to.
It was called.
Something like that.
Was it like Dos Ojos or whatever?
No. I'll find it.
We also went to the golf
course. Hold on. When y'all say we, I was the only one there.
I was there.
What? Are you?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. It was during the World Cup?
Yeah, I know. We talked about this like 3 weeks ago. Yeah, what was the
What was the golf course? It wasn't a course.
Five under?
It was,
is that right?
Yeah, that place was cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, I liked that place a lot. Israel says, I'm with Rory. Let's go. 2016 was 9 years ago. Rory grew up playing on tough European courses.
It is called Modelo's.
It's called Modelo's?
Modelos.
My bad. I'll eat the L there. I was acting like Brian. I was convinced it was not.
Brian, yeah, you actually backtracked from your normal philosophy, which is you're going at it hard even if you're wrong.
That's my
bad. You kind of soft-shoed that one back, and you shouldn't have.
Yeah, that's I have nowhere to go here. I just have to wear it. I was terribly wrong. I was convinced I was not. I am sorry, Brian.
We might as well just end the segment. It can't get any worse for you.
That's right. Let's segue to our next segment. Is CJ under more pressure than any quarterback in this year to save me some embarrassment? We'll kick it around next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9, HD2. The Killer Bees do a great job most of the time.
Crushed it, literal mic drop.
But sometimes they need a little help to make sure they're talking about the right topics. That, well, make the most money.
This is how you're going to make the money.
That's why it's time for the... Wait, Joe, are you forcing them?
Just tell them to talk football.
Okay, okay. Jeez, you're the boss. Here's the Killer Bees corporate mandated football segment.
Talk football. I didn't go out to training camp today. I had some stuff to do this morning. Couldn't get out there. They were inside the bubble, too, which I'm not a big fan of the bubble day. I like to be outside in the outdoors. I like to be a little uncomfortable when I watch my football. I like to be a little uncomfortable.
You've
I like
been
to be
very
a little warm.
Today. What do you mean? Being in the rain.
Yeah, I think football's an out. I don't like it whenever we're inside. No, but honestly, there's not a lot of room. There's not a lot of room for the people. That's not the reason I didn't go. I didn't go because I had a bunch of stuff this morning. Yeah. There's not a lot of room to walk around. And it's hard. Like, I don't know. It's like dark. It's a little harder to see for me. I don't know.
Are you talking in the bubble?
Yeah, they were in the bubble today.
Yeah, I've never seen a practice in the bubble.
I've seen a few. I mean, I spent like 2 years covering them, so I've been in there quite a few times. Remember everybody would get hurt there. Like that bubble used to, that's where Deshaun got hurt. And it's where one of the receivers got hurt. Where it was in the bubble during practice. Like who am I thinking about? Who was the receiver that got hurt in the bubble? There was somebody. It was Deshaun Watson who definitely tore his leg up in the bubble. And then there was somebody else I want to say. But regardless, C.J. Stroud's the new quarterback of the Texans. You know what he was doing today?
Throwing.
He was throwing a football. C.J. Stroud was throwing a football. Good All deal. Of you worrywarts that were out there. Oh, he's got a bump shoulder. This is significant. This is something. You guys had nothing to worry about. We were telling you that a whole time. It doesn't matter when a quarterback doesn't throw a football. It doesn't matter.
Is it terrible of me to say I'm a little disappointed because I can't use the open anymore?
Oh, I know. No, we talked about the other day.
Yeah, it's a good open. I mean, just wait like a couple more weeks. Let's use it a few more times.
I actually wanted him to throw so we didn't have to keep doing it. Like, it's funny.
Yeah,
we were definitely leaning into it. Look, I mean, it is significant when your quarterback's not throwing football. But I just wanted him to throw so we didn't have to talk for 4 weeks about him not throwing. Like, that would have been tough, man.
You think about it. Yeah, if he didn't throw this week, it would not have gone away until training camp.
We would have found a new soundbite every single day talking about the red flag of C.J. Stroud not throwing.
Do we need to, like, officially retire it?
Yeah, we probably do. We probably need to pour it out for – well, no.
I would hang
no.
on to it.
Yeah, maybe hiatus.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, we don't need to throw it in the recycling bin and click empty recycle bin. We don't need to do that yet. Because, I mean, if he has another shoulder injury, which he has a history of shoulder injuries, we could recycle it.
Or other things. I mean, other things could go wrong with CJ to where you could be shrouded in mystery.
Okay, did it not refer to the shoulder in it?
It says he's not throwing. I don't think it says the shoulder, though.
Okay. Yeah.
So we could still use shrouded in mystery. We might just have to take out
the- As long as it's not like a lower leg
like
injury.
No, because he still wouldn't be throwing.
Okay, fair.
You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of a reach, but doable.
I'm sure with a little edit work, we could just take out that one little blurb about the show. He's not throwing.
Yeah, we're no longer shrouded in mystery. We're not shrouded in mystery. Now we're Shred'em Stroud. That's all that we're doing now. Shrouded in mystery's done. We're in Shred'em Stroud mode. The rest of the he dropped Go dimes Texans. Today. Dropped dimes. That was Cal. Go Texans. Go Texans. So Blanker's asking the question, is C.J. Stroud under more pressure than any quarterback in the NFL this year?
Yeah, I was watching ESPN the other night or one of that NFL show, I think it was, and they were talking about which quarterback in the NFL is under the most pressure this year, and they were bringing up guys like J.J. McCarthy and Caleb Williams, and I started thinking, wouldn't C.J. be on that list, and then is it feasible to think that he could be at the top of that list? Because when you think about all the quarterbacks in the league, we already had this shoulder issue that everybody was talking about on top of everything else. But after a great year one, he took a step back in year two. Everybody's blaming the line. But, you know, there were some times that we could point fingers at CJ as well, too. And realizing that he's got all the talent in the world around him on both sides of the football and a team that's kind of on the cusp of being a Super Bowl caliber team, it would seem to me that he would be in the discussion because of the fact that there is so much riding on him as it relates to this team and how far it can go.
There's always pressure for a quarterback in the NFL, like always a lot of pressure, and it varies from most to least pressure. And there is pressure for Stroud. Like he's in the – it's not a contract year, but he's eligible for a contract extension next offseason. If he has a good year – I think he's getting $60 million a year. He's probably going to be the richest quarterback of all time, just because that's the nature of the business. Whoever's the latest to sign is going to get the most. So he puts together a good year, he's going to make more money than any quarterback in existence prior. He's going to get the biggest quarterback contract in the history of the game. But I wouldn't say he's under the most pressure. Like Josh Allen, does he have more pressure because he needs to win a Super Bowl? Yes. You go to Tua. Like, Tua might be fighting for a starting job in the NFL. I don't think that Stroud is in that conversation. Fields might be fighting for a starting job in the NFL. Drake May has a runway. Lamar's probably in the Allen conversation, needing to win a Super Bowl. Rodgers, I mean, Rodgers late in his career, Hall of Fame career. Pressure. No pressure
Rodgers,
there.
Nah.
Joe Burrow, no, I think Burrow's okay.
He's, missed the playoffs two straight years, so there's some pressure there.
I took out guys like Allen, Lamar, because they got their contracts, they've got MVP trophies, and all that they have left.
But they're chasing
to do,
legacy.
But all they have to do is win the Super Bowl, whereas...
That's the biggest thing to do.
CJ's they've never even been contract. To one, though.
CJ's, we had the health issue. CJ's chasing the demons of whatever happened last year to put those in his rearview mirror and prove that he's still a top, you know, top 10 quarterback in the league. That's why I asked the question.
I guess it depends on what you would say puts the pressure on a guy. But to me, I mean, Allen and Lamar at the top of my list, because both guys kind of have the label of the guy who can't get it done. Neither one's even been to a Super Bowl, much less win it.
Yeah.
Mahomes in the same conference, obviously. So I would both say they have far more pressure than CJ. And there's a few more that I came up with a list.
I would go Allen. I would go Tua, because I think Tua's fighting for a starting job.
I struggled on that one.
I think Fields is fighting for a starting job. Drake May, no. Lamar needs a Super Bowl. Rodgers, no. Burrow, I think Burrow and Stroud are probably level tiers. Like, I have a tough time putting one over the other, so I'm going to call that on the same tier.
I'd be fine with that.
Cleveland, no. Those guys are all insignificant. Sorry, no offense. Daniel Jones, Anthony Richardson. If Anthony Richardson's shoulder works, he went to visit Dr. Elatache, who performed his surgery. I mean, they're fighting for jobs, but they're kind of insignificant, so I wouldn't put them ahead of Stroud. Trevor Lawrence.
He was on my list.
Now, he got paid already, where Stroud hasn't. That one's tough. Like, that might be the same tier one. I'm going to leave that one off. Cam Ward, no. He's got a runway. He's a rookie. Pat Mahomes, no. He's done it all. Justin Herbert, I would say.
He's on my list,
too. Justin Herbert hasn't won a playoff game. So, like, Herbert would be higher.
And he threw four picks in his last one.
Drew Lock, no. Geno Smith, no. Hurts, absolutely not. Daniels, no. He's where Stroud was last year. Dak?
I think Dak's,
Dak's on my list, too.
I mean, Dak's $60 million, like, and he hasn't done a ton in the postseason, so he would be up there. Giants, Russ, I mean, Russ is kind of late in his career. If they turn it over to the rookie, he's just a rookie. Goff? Goff's interesting.
Goff's on my list.
Would you have him ahead of Stroud?
I think he's slightly ahead because he's got, I mean, obviously he lost He goes from L.A. to Detroit. I think a lot of people are going to give the credit to his former O.C. for his success. I think he's got to prove something, losing Ben Johnson to the Bears, to prove he can still be a, you know, top 10-ish quarterback.
NFC Championship game and a Super Bowl appearance. I think he has less to prove than Stroud.
Herbert was on my list, but Goff was lower.
But if we want to call them same tier, I'm okay with that. I just wouldn't put him ahead. J.J. McCarthy's interesting because everybody else is putting huge expectations on him, but I wouldn't put him ahead of Stroud.
I mean, they did say goodbye to Cousins and Darnold for you, essentially, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that is some pressure.
But I think he has a little runway, though. Like, if he was solid this year, not great, like, that's fine.
You're right. In that sense, he's got a year. Kevin O'Connell just had success with everybody.
You know, Jordan Love's on my list.
I think I would put Love ahead of him.
See, I wouldn't because of the money. Mine, part of it was...
He got paid and CJ hasn't.
Herbert's gotten paid. Love got paid. The money thing kind of scooched them back before CJ.
I can meet you there. I think Caleb Williams has more pressure.
He's on my list, too.
Caleb Williams is a lot. Like, he had a disappointing rookie year. Everybody was calling him the second coming. He's got an offensive mind that many consider the next greatest offensive mind in the history of the game. I think you would have Caleb Williams over him. Baker, no. Baker's solid. Michael Penix.
He's
in the J.J. McCarthy tier of this conversation. So I wouldn't go above him, but very important. I think Bryce Young has more to prove. More pressure.
I didn't even think of Bryce.
Yeah, Bryce hasn't got paid yet either. So, yeah, I mean, there is a lot to prove there. Yeah,
same exactly class, right. And he hasn't done as much in the NFL.
And he's only had half a season. So if he took a step back, he could be in the spot where he loses a job. So, yeah, you could say definitely Bryce has more pressure.
Saints, no. I heard an interesting take from somebody at our sister station in Baton Rouge saying that they should trade for Jameis Winston. Great take.
Oh, I would love it.
What's his name? Cam Jordan. Cam Jordan's out there lobbying for him.
What I heard was the guys react to what Cam Jordan said. Okay. But that would be fantastic. It doesn't help him win, but it would be so entertaining to see Jameis Winston play 17 games. Especially New Orleans, where they love him.
It makes so much sense.
Because he's third string, in my opinion, in New York. If Russell Wilson, A, got hurt, B, got benched, who are they going to?
Jackson Dart.
Absolutely.
If it's week two, I don't think they would.
I don't know, man.
By week six, I think it is Dart.
Maybe point of the calendar hurts here. Rams with Stafford, no. I mean, he's late in his career. He's gotten paid and well-respected.
He's won one.
Sam Darnold?
No. That wasn't the last
got
one on my
paid,
list.
Paid, but he has to prove that it wasn't a one-year wonder with Minnesota with a ton of talent around him.
Kyler
was the other one.
Again, he got paid already. He's got a win, but
his is more about like stature in the league, not money.
He's got what, one playoff trip, and they got crushed. Like Kyler, I don't know. Like Kyler's been the guy that's put up some stats at times. Mm-hmm. If you had him in fantasy a couple years, you loved it. But he's a guy that I don't think anyone believes is a next level quarterback that can get a team to even a conference title game. So
he is the greatest athlete in the world, though.
Well, there it is.
Kyler Murray is the greatest athlete. I mean,
Jeremy Branham, bingo.
How many players? How many people in the world that are active have been drafted in the first round in two major sports? How many? How many? How many?
Have you actually ever fact-checked this?
How many?
It'll be through the caveat that are active. You don't have to look at it.
I said active. Plus, modern history, has there been another?
Well, that's what I'm asking.
Where was Bo Jackson drafted
Bo
in baseball?
Bo was the first one that came
to mind. We actually fact-checked Bo. He was not.
Deion drafted in baseball?
Yeah, but he wasn't first round.
Russ was a second round pick in baseball.
I don't think so.
Colorado.
I don't think so.
I think
he was second round in Colorado.
Plus, he was a fourth round pick in the NFL, or third or fourth. I'm pretty sure Russell Wilson was a late round draft pick with no chance to sign.
Yeah, it wouldn't matter because he was a third round
draft pick, I think.
I have to go look it up. I don't think he was second rounder, though. But regardless, I'm pretty sure that Kyler is the only one in modern history that's been drafted in two professional sports in the first round. Greatest athlete of all time, Kyler Murray. I'm kidding. Active. Just active. So how many do we land? Brock Purdy, last one?
He got paid.
Yeah, but hadn't won.
He's got some pressure. There's no doubt there's pressure on him. I just think it's a different level. The reason why I threw CJ in the mix is because it's multi-level. There's multi-facets to getting paid, proving himself after a subpar second year, the expectations of the team, all those things that factor in. That's why I thought he was in the mix at the top.
Definitely a lot of pressure on Stroud. I would have him about 7th or 8th. Top 10, but outside of the top 5 for CJ Stroud.
Okay. Brian?
Yeah, I had 10 guys with more pressure. I think some of them are arguable, but I think he's not in the top 5 for sure.
So I had him because I had him having more pressure than Lamar or Josh Allen because they got paid, they've won MVPs, they've proven they can play. You're right, they still have to get to the pinnacle, but so does Joe Burrow. That's why I had him his pressure greater than Burrow, Allen, Lamar.
Bo Jackson, second round draft pick, says a texter. So not as great as Kyler, Bo Jackson. People talk about Bo Jackson, greatest athlete of all time.
Wasn't that because he was the number one overall pick and refused to play for Tampa?
He was. You're talking about Bo?
Yeah.
Yeah, Bo was the number one pick.
And then he 86. Refused to play for the Buccaneers?
Yeah, I vaguely remember that. I think that's true.
So then the Raiders took a flyer on him in the second round, and then they ended up...
No. He was drafted first in the NFL. I guess he was traded. I forget the story there. I vaguely remember. I watched that 30 for 30, but it's kind of fuzzy on me.
Yeah, I thought he had the baseball to fall back on. That he refused to play for Tampa, and they thought he was just going to play baseball. And then I thought that the Raiders the next year just took Al Davis or someone took a flyer on him.
If I remember correctly, he told Tampa to not pick him because he didn't want to play there. They picked him anyways, and then he called their bluff and didn't sign. Mm-hmm. And then I think maybe it was what's that draft, the supplemental draft? Maybe they drafted him in the supplemental, like something like that. I have to go back and read it. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Is C.J. Stroud under the most pressure of any quarterback in the NFL going into 2025? 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. You're probably under pressure to get a basketball goal. Your kids, your husband, your wife, whoever it might be in your household. We need a basketball goal. Of course you do. But you need a basketball goal from Pro Dunk Hoops. You don't need to go to the big box store. Those are not going to work very long. You'll put it up. It'll be up there for a couple of days. Wind's going to blow it over. Backboard's going to get messed up, whatever. It's not going to be any good. If you're going to buy a basketball goal, make it worth your while and get a basketball goal from Pro Dunk. Why? Because they make the highest quality basketball goals you'll find. Tempered glass backboard gives you that true, authentic feel. Breakaway rim, which is important to have. I'll tell you why in a second. Stainless steel hardware. It's rust-proof, which is must-have in Houston with our humidity, and it's height-adjustable. It's where the breakaway rim comes into play. It's going to be regulation size, of course. You can put it all the way up there to 10 feet, but you can lower it all the way down to 5 so Brian can dunk. Anywhere from 5 to 10 feet, it's fantastic. Thor, too. One of their goals, Thor, they call it. You can raise and lower the goals with a drill. Lightning adjust feature, easy to do, fun to do. Even Brian can do it. 5 to 10 feet in a matter of seconds. And their accessories are next level. LED light kits for night play. You're at work. Kids are at school. You can only play at night. I understand. I hear you. Get some LED light kits and you can play throughout the night. Neighbors will love it. Backstop nets, pole pad lettering, and lots more. You can order all of this online at ProDunk.com. Also, professional installation. Yeah, that's right. The pros from ProDunk will professionally install your goal, so you don't have to. You don't have to get a million pieces delivered to your driveway and assemble this thing. Plus, you're going to screw it up. Pros won't. They're going to make it perfectly level. It's going to be perfectly straight, right at the perfect height. It's going to be great. You don't do it. Let the pros at ProDunk install the goal for you. Give them a call, 281-351-9822, 281-351-9822, or visit them online at ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Mariners are about to lose another baseball game. They're down 5-2 with an out in the ninth. Nobody on.
Love it.
Shelby Miller on the bump. You know who's pitching for the Diamondbacks? I turned on that game last night when the Astros finished. Arizona has Taylor Scott pitching for them.
I didn't realize either.
Like, I turned it on because, like, okay, I'm going to troll the Mariners here. Let's see if they can lose. I'm going to fade the Mariners, see if they can lose because the Astros lost and Astros can stay 3 up in the division. And I see the sidewinder. I'm like, that guy looks familiar because I pulled it up on my phone, like, as I was doing other stuff. Uh-huh. So I kind of squinted. I was like, okay, who is that guy? I mean, I have great vision. 2015, I had LASIK. I've had some work done. I've had a little work done, Blinkers. But I turned it on. I see a sidewinder. I'm like, I mean, I don't see many sidewinders in baseball anymore. Look a little closer. It's old Taylor with an E. Scott.
How about that?
Shutting down the Mariners. Thank you, Taylor.
Doing his old team some favors.
Him and his Miller Lite T-shirt, like that little. Do you have the clip, Brian? Because the Josh Hader, Brian King.
Oh, let me get it. Yeah,
let's pull that up. Remember Taylor Scott had a little bases loaded promo too, where he like passed his U.S. citizenship,
and
he was wearing the Miller Lite T-shirt with a cowboy hat and some cowboy boots. And then, yeah, you can have your U.S. citizenship, but you can no longer be an Astro. I finally got to recording the Josh Hader, Brian King bases loaded promo where they go on a turkey hunt. I posted this on TikTok and they removed it. They removed it because they said it was cruelty to animals. I got community guidelined on posting this on TikTok at Jeremy J. Branham. But here was the Brian King, Josh Hader, bases loaded promo I've been talking about. It's the best thing on TV.
Tell me about the off day activities that you partook in with Brian King.
Yeah, so crazy story. So we were originally supposed to have a day game Wednesday, I believe, when the first schedule came out. Changed to a night game, so that was kind of like a little bit of panic, but we got in at 1:30, drove up to my farm about 2 hours away, and no sleep, just went straight out in the morning and went hunting. Got it done by 6:30, and King and I both shot a turkey at the same time. I messed up on the trigger pull. It was like, all right, 1, 2, 3, boom. And then I went boom afterwards. So I had to hit it on the run afterwards. I missed the first time. But nonetheless, it was a great, great time, great story. And then the rest of the day, just drove around the farm and hung out and just kind of get away from the city life.
There you go. There's the Josh Hader, Brian.
You're right.
A lot of innuendo in that.
Yeah. Like, how cringe is that?
The music doesn't help.
Let me tell you about this crazy story. We went out on this turkey hunt, and it was wild.
We shot the same turkey at the same time.
Went right out there after it.
Just got after it.
We went.
Wow, the all nighter.
That's what he said.
We got
he
home did. About 1:30.
Just went after it.
The music's worth is worse yes. than the words.
Yes,
the
100%.
Music. The music screwed him over.
Yep.
Like the music is the worst thing that you could put behind that. Like all I can think about when I watch that Brokeback Mountain.
Especially as they say, hit it on the run.
Yeah, that line right there.
Hey, phrasing.
Not great.
Oh my goodness!
And then he was late.
Isn't that the greatest promo in the history of promos?
Ooh, that's cringy. 1, 2, 3, boom. And then I was a little late.
See what
boom.
I'm talking about? It's like a rom-com. It's a rom-com what's going on there.
I wonder what the editor's facial expressions were like when putting that one together for the show. I mean,
he pulled the trigger, but nothing happened.
Like, how do you something think how do you
sometimes.
Think Mrs. Hader and Mrs. King feel? I know the Hader's married. I'm not sure about King. But how do you think the Mrs. in their lives feel about them hanging out on the ranch all day?
Might be a question.
Awkward.
They're shooting guns at the same time.
How
special moment.
I've never heard about turkey hunting before. How difficult can it be to hunt turkey? They're not really like escape artists, are they?
I mean, how difficult can it be to hit the strike zone from 60 feet, 6 inches?
I think that hitting a turkey would be a lot easier than doing that consistently in the major leagues.
I don't know if they move much. Yeah, I mean,
I've heard they're not intelligent either.
Turkeys?
Turkeys, yeah.
Have you?
Yeah, every year at Thanksgiving when they talk about, like, you know, the turkey hunts and the turkey, when you go out, some people like to get the fresh turkeys.
How do we measure this? How do we measure that animals are intelligent Whoa. Or not?
I just Googled how fast is a turkey. Apparently, wild turkeys can run up to 25 miles per hour.
Oh.
That was like Michael Vick whenever he's a quarterback at Virginia Tech. Fastest
Basically, yeah.
turkey I've ever seen.
Well, I mean, Hokey is a turkey.
We shot it at the same time. I love Julie in the background. That's special. Like, you... What are we doing? Oh, I love that commercial so much. I can't believe TikTok made me take it. They didn't make me take it down. They said it has been taken down. It promotes harmfulness to animals, they said. Mm. It broke the community guideline rules.
Now,
I've been scorned by TikTok.
Les Alexander would have had a problem with that promo.
They like have them like in their hands too. Like you see some of like the video, like there's
yeah,
pictures
just, like,
of them
carrying
it
over their shoulder, aren't they?
Yeah. And Josh Hader and Brian King all that time at the ranch. Maybe that's why Brian Hader's pitcher. Brian Hader. Maybe that's why Josh Hader's pitching so good this year.
Maybe that's why Taylor Green didn't. He's got to go kill some animals.
Never heard of that guy.
Who's Taylor
Green?
My gosh. My bad. Yeah.
It's great.
Taylor Scott, yeah.
Turkeys have incredible eyesight. You have to hit them in the head. Shotgun pellets bounce off wings. There you go. They're resilient little suckers.
Evidently, I misheard.
Should be which animal has the biggest brain.
Turkeys are surprisingly
does the size of the
intelligent
brain,
animals.
Does it?
Yeah.
Does the brain size matter in terms of like the intelligence of anybody, anything?
It's a factor. I don't think it's the only factor, but it is a factor.
Okay. I don't know. I'm not really scientific. Texture that's 10 times faster than Tom Brady. All right. Back to the quarterback's pressure conversation. Getting over the Josh Hader thing. When the shot comes, turkeys have some of the best senses there. No smell, but have better eyesight than you, J-Bone. They fast too, says Blaine. So there you go.
Says they can remember specific locations, recognize other birds and humans by their voices wow. and faces, and express affection and empathy for others.
Well, learning a lot about turkeys today. Apparently, they can also, in short bursts, fly 55 miles per hour.
Really?
According to Google AI.
That's a great shot by Josh
short
Hader, then.
If you get a butterball that's running 25 and then gets airborne, that's pretty impressive.
If that hits you, that would hurt.
Man.
Somebody said, I don't know, but crows are supposed to be like one of the smartest animals, and they seem like they have small brains. They certainly don't have big brains, crows.
No, they do not.
Relatively speaking. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Plus, yeah, I would not have guessed they could have run that fast.
No, not at all.
Or fly that fast in short burst. Makes
it
all the
impressive
more impressive
than when they said an alligator can run 25 to 30 miles an hour.
In short bursts, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see a turkey sprinting.
What's your favorite bromance in sports history? Because mine is Josh Hader and Brian King.
It's up there.
Oh, I give you one that people had a lot to say about.
Dwight Howard and somebody else?
Nope.
Who?
Steve Francis and Cuttino Mobley.
I love those guys.
Oh, my God. The
Jalen Green and Josh Christopher was a special bromance.
Oh, wow.
He's not wrong.
That's a big pull, Brian.
It's a good pull. Wow.
The video evidence of that one.
Oh, I just remember that when ESPN, before they started doing 30 for 30s and everything, they would do these kind of like side features that were longer. And they did one on Steve and Cuttino. It might have been close to a 30-minute show. And it was much like that promo. They got matching mopeds. And they were, and then they kept showing all the highlights of them jumping into each other's arms and jumping on each other's backs and all the, and oh my God, the locker room practice, everything. I mean, the amount of crap that was being thrown around was, ooh, it was comical.
So Mobley and the franchise, Jalen Green and Josh Christopher, Brian King and Josh Hader, who are the greatest bromances in sports history? 713-780-3776. They literally love each other.
They literally love each other.
They didn't seem like they spend like a lot of time with each other, though.
Aren't Yordan and Dubon pretty close?
Yeah. I don't know if I would put them in that category, but they're pretty tight in the dugout and stuff. Yeah.
I knew Dubon's credited Yordan with helping him out a lot, so.
He hadn't really helped him out a ton, though.
Well, I know. Well, it was like one half a year where his batting average spiked, and he credited Yordan.
I need somebody to hang out with Yordan that's going to make him healthy. What's Brian McNamee up to these days?
Brady and Gronk?
It's a pretty good bromance.
And then they went on the boat, and didn't Gronk try to help
the
him?
Banana Boat Brothers.
Oh, Chris Paul and Carmelo.
Who was the fourth
D-Wade.
One?
D-Wade.
D-Wade.
Yeah.
What are the best bromances in sports, and which quarterbacks are under the most pressure in the NFL this year? Whatever you want to talk about. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.